let's take out our Bibles together and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We have made a decision not to put the Bibles on the chairs, but asking you to bring a Bible from home or to pick up a Bible from the Bible carts when you come into church on Sunday morning. So if you have a phone or some sort of device with the Bible, you can turn to 1 Corinthians 13, or else you can pick a Bible up from the Bible cart or ask someone to do that for you. But let's turn together to 1 Corinthians 13. And as we do that, I'm just going to pray and ask God to bless the reading this morning, but also the message this morning. Let's pray together. Father, we're thankful for days like today. It's easy for us to say that this is the day that you have made because of all that's happening and the weather you give us, O Lord, for the joy of being together here in this place. We're thankful for your great presence in our lives, but also your great presence in and through the Scriptures. And this morning, Lord, help us to discern your presence here among us this morning, but also especially as we read and hear your word. May your word accomplish what you intended to accomplish this morning among us. And Father, for some of us, surprise us with what your word will do in us and maybe even through us today. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to read this passage in a few moments, 1 Corinthians 13. If you don't know the passage, it's a very famous passage about love. It's a passage oftentimes read or at least referred to at weddings. And as I try and sometimes tell wedding couples, a great passage for weddings, but it's really not just for weddings or for married couples. It's really meant to be a passage for how do we live life, and especially how do we live life in the church. We enjoy if you'd come and read 1 Corinthians. We're going to start actually in chapter 12, verse 27, and read through to chapter 14, verse 5.
Now, you are the body of Christ, and each of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? Now, eagerly desire the greater gifts, and yet I will show you the most excellent way.
If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I am only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have a gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have a faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship, that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient, love is kind. It does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud. It does not dishonor others, it is not self-seeking, it is not eagerly angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, and always perseveres. Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they will cease. Where there are tongues, they will be stilled. Where there is knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when completeness comes, what is in part disappears. When I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I reasoned like a child. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. For now we see only a reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known. And now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
Follow the way of love and eagerly desire the gifts of spirit, especially prophecy. For anyone who speaks in a tongue does not speak to people, but to God. Indeed, no one understands them, but they utter mysteries by the Spirit. But the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their strengthening, encouraging, and comfort. Anyone who speaks in a tongue edifies themselves, but the one who prophesies edifies the church. I would like every one of you to speak in tongues, but I would rather have you prophesy. For the one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be edified. These are the words of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Now, it may be quite obvious, but what is this? This is a sandwich. This is a peanut butter sandwich. I just made it this morning. And maybe, I was thinking, it's the most popular sandwich, maybe not for all of us, but for a lot of kids. I mean, peanut butter sandwich, peanut butter jam, one of the most popular sandwiches in North America. Now these are all very obvious questions, I know, but just to sort of help us this morning, kind of lead us into the passage. What's this sandwich mostly made of? Bread, top and bottom layer. But when you bite into the sandwich, what do you mostly taste? Peanut butter. Now, if I had a really fancy bread, like those really tasty breads, maybe that would be different, but typically the bread we use at home, if you bite into this, you taste peanut butter, or honey, or ham and cheese, whatever it is. And this morning I want to suggest that this is a great image for us to understand this morning's passage. And by implication, a great image to understand what the church is meant to be. What the church is meant to taste like for those who are, for us this morning, in the building and in the church community, and for those who interact with the church. Maybe later today they will come and interact with Nelson Avenue Community Church, and this is a great image for us to think about what will they taste when they interact with those of us here in the church community. If you have your Bibles open, and we try to do this a little bit through the reading, this passage is really a sandwich. We read a few verses from chapter 12. Chapter 12 is the top layer of bread. Chapter 13 is the filling in the middle. It's what we're supposed to taste. In chapter 14, again, a few verses read, is another layer of bread. Chapter 12 is all about ministry and gifts and doing things in the church. Chapter 14 is all about ministry and gifts and doing things in the church. And the chapter 13 is meant to be the flavor chapter, the peanut butter, if you will. And so even as we did the reading this morning, Wayne was reading the bread, you know, top layer, bottom layer, and Joy was reading the peanut butter, or the jam, or the filling. Now, these words and this book in the Bible, 1 Corinthians, is written to a church that loved to do stuff. They loved to do ministry. They were very busy. They were a church of prophets and teachers and miracle workers, those who could speak in different kinds of tongues. It was a church of healing and helping and guidance, and the list goes on and on. And they loved doing ministry so much that they started to rank the ministries and rank the gifts. And they started to, at least, maybe not outwardly, but at least in their posture, say, these things are really good. These things are really Christian. So if you're doing these kinds of things in the church, you're really Christian. If you're doing these things, well, thank you very much, but not as good. They aren't as high on the ministry list as other things are. And so as Paul is writing to these Christians, he wants to tell them, especially in chapter 12, all the gifts, all the ministries, all the things that people do in the life of the church are important. So put away the ranking system. I think we all have that in some way, but put away the ranking system. Don't think about, well, this thing and this person is doing more important work than this person. It's like a body, Paul says, and every part of the body is needed. Even those parts we can't see, they're all needed for the healthy functioning of the body. So think of the church as a body. And we want every part of the church, every part of the body working together. But then it seems like, although he kind of, you know, makes it all level, he does say at the end of chapter 12, no, I'm going to show you the most excellent way. I'm going to show you the most excellent way to do ministry. And the most excellent way for Paul and for the Bible is not a kind of ministry, but the tone of ministry. Well, this morning, I'm really hoping you won't hear me say we shouldn't do ministry, or we shouldn't be busy, or we shouldn't be involved in programs and events and things that are part of the life of the church community. It's impossible for me to imagine a church that does nothing. Even a Sunday morning worship service takes planning and effort. It's like a ministry. It's like an event. But as we think about the work of the church, the most excellent way, the most excellent manner is not what we do, but how we do it. The most excellent way is not a kind of program, but a kind of attitude or tone that's meant to permeate all the ministries, all the gifts, all the events of the church. So we need to ask ourselves, when people come into contact with the church, when they come into contact with Nelson Avenue, do they experience the program or the tone of the program? When people come into contact with Nelson Avenue Church, do they experience the bread or the filling in the bread, the peanut butter, if you would? And I want to call us this morning to be a church that on one level we can describe as a love sandwich. I see that very clearly in these three chapters. I see it clearly in other places in the Bible that when people sort of bite into us, they're not tasting bread, they're tasting love. There's something going on in the program, in the ministry, in the event that's bigger and deeper and richer than what we're organizing. Now, I think this chapter, especially chapter 13, 1 Corinthians 13, is so awesome. I bet any translation you read it in will be an awesome testimony to what the love is meant to feel like or look like. But I want to read it to you again from the Message, because the Message sometimes gives us words and phrases that we don't typically hear maybe in a Bible translation. So let's together, as we hear this, hope and pray that when people interact with Nelson Avenue Church, they will find love that never gives up. They will find here people who care more for others than for self. They will find here people who don't want what they don't have. They aren't, I got. No, that's not going to be part of our DNA. They're going to find people who don't strut, whether physically or spiritually. They will find people who don't have swelled heads about themselves or about the church. They will find people who don't force themselves on others, who aren't always me first or us first, who don't fly off the handle, who don't keep score of the sins of others, who don't revel when others grovel. People who take pleasure in the flowering of truth. People who put up with almost anything. Who put up with anything. Who trust God always. Who always look for the best, even the best in others. Who never look back but keep going to the end. I want to ask you this morning to long with me and us together that would be what people experience when they experience Nelson Avenue Community Church. This kind of love. And this kind of love in this chapter, I hope you sense, is not sentimental love or fluffy love. This is strong, vibrant, I'd want to use the word robust kind of love. This is the kind of love we find God showing us in and through Jesus Christ And the kind of love that happens in people and among people when they realize that in Jesus, God has loved us to the uttermost. He could not have done more. It is one of the things we're called to believe as Christians. God could not have done more than sending his son to this world. He loved us to the end. He loved us perfectly and fully. And so 1 Corinthians 13 is a perfect description of God's love for us and us responding in love to others. Now this morning I want to press in a little bit. So we have the sandwich and we have the Bible in front of us, and I want to press in a little bit and hopefully exhort us, encourage us, but more than that, long for us. Desire something for us, and I hope that you will desire with me. And then, if God be merciful, it would be words of blessing, maybe even words of prophecy over us, that this would happen, that we would be this kind of people. Now, I do this in part because of our mission statements. And you can't read that very well up there. I'm very sorry. But our mission statement, Nelson Avenue Community Church, we are about three things: loving God, loving others, doing justice. I want to ask you to say that with me. Loving God, loving others, doing justice. And I love this mission statement because of its clarity, its simplicity, but also its Bible saturation. Because we can go to all kinds of places in the Bible to read about this and to see this. So Nelson Avenue, we want to be about loving God. Even for those of us who say, what does that mean? What does that look like? We want to be helping each other and us together love God and to see more of that in our lives. We want to be a community that loves others. Even when we're sometimes asking, how can I really love this person that God wants me to? This is really tough. I don't have all the answers to this right now. And we want to be a community that's doing justice, wanting to be individuals, but also a group together, people together, where true and deep justice is happening, where we cannot just talk about it, but we are implementing justice in our daily lives, our places of work, but also as a church community. And this morning, I want to spend a few moments thinking, longing with you, desiring with you, speaking maybe words of blessing and prophecy over us about loving others. Could it be that God would use us in such a way that not just those of us in the church community, certainly us, but also those outside the community, whether they are adults or children, seniors or youth, men or women, boys or girls, married, single, divorced, long-time residents of the community, but maybe also new immigrants and refugees, people who, if we saw them, it looks like they have their lives all together, and others, if we saw them, we would know that their lives are not all together. Could it be that each of these people, when they bite into Nelson Avenue, they might taste the love of Jesus Christ? Could God work among us in such a way that that would happen? That the main flavor of this church community would be 1 Corinthians 13. That when people talk to us, even later on today during the community party, they might experience the love of Christ. And I think there are ways for us to talk to strangers that shows them, I'm not just here because I have to be here. I'm not just here giving you sort of the pat questions or pat answers. I'm really here to listen to you. I can give 5, 10, 15 minutes, whatever it is, to listen to how you're doing. Listen to your story. Let's sit down and chat more than just the perfunctory questions and things, but could we engage a little bit together? When people see us at work or see us in worship, that they would experience the love of Christ. When people hear us praying for them or for others, may they hear prayers rooted in love. As people hear us talking to each other, but also sometimes about each other, that would be the real test, I think. Could they hear words that seek to communicate love? And this morning, I want to point to five ministries, five things we're wanting to do this day and this year, asking that in these five things, the taste would be love. So this year, our theme for the year is Love Metro Town. And for me, our mission statement and 1 Corinthians 13 and lots of other Bible passages lie behind this Love Metro Town theme. Now, I know for some people, I heard it recently, when they heard Love Metro Town, they thought, oh, you want us to go and shop at the Metro Town Mall? Is that what you're wanting us to do? And I try to say, well, that's not the main intent. That's really not our intent. Love Metro Town is our effort to focus the community on loving the people in the Metro Town area. So how could we be the human agents, the human means that God would use to bring his rich blessing to those who live around this church? What could we do so that the impression of those in the Metro Town area, when they hear about Nelson Avenue Community Church or any church, their first impression would not be hatred or bigotry or better than you attitudes that sometimes get associated with churches, but rather their impression would be, that's a place where I've experienced, or I've heard others have experienced, love and care. What could we do, or what could God cause us to do so that we could do good for the people who live around us and even for the community in general? A second area I'm thinking about this morning is our small group ministry. This morning we start another season of small groups, forming and then filling small groups. And again, we're offering groups throughout the week for various kinds of people studying a variety of topics. After the service, there's a small group table there in the foyer close to the kitchen. Please sign up or at least have a look, see what's being offered. And we want to invite each other, and maybe those we don't even know yet, into rich small group experiences of community. And my understanding of that is, for a Christian small group or a Christian community, God's word at the center. We pray for each other, we talk together, we share our lives together, we care for each other, and we find ways of caring for those beyond the group. We are really trying to be friends of Jesus together, doing ministry to each other, but also to others in the name and the power of Jesus and his Holy Spirit. And this past week, I was having coffee with someone, and they were talking about their small group experience, and I said, I got to hear that here on Sunday morning, because for me, it was so rich, and to be honest, it meshed with my understanding a little bit of what small groups should be. So Peter Becker, if you'd come up and share a little bit about your small group experience here at Nelson Avenue, and I hope that his words will not just challenge us, but also encourage us in small group ministry.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Peter Decker. For those of you who don't know me, I started coming to Nelson Avenue last fall as I started my studies just up the road at BCIT. And coming here has been a wonderful experience. The community's been very welcoming, and I really appreciate that hospitality. It's been a really welcoming and wonderful church to come to in my travels. As part of being here, I've gotten to know some of my peers, some young adults. At the beginning of the summer, we started meeting. We just decided we should meet together just to have some fun and to talk a little more, and it kind of happened a little organically, but we ended up meeting every week now on Tuesdays for tea and conversation, and we talk about the Bible and issues in our Christian life, and it's always been a great conversation to have. So we've been graciously hosted by Lori and Paul Bender every week. So if you're a young adult, I'd like to encourage you to come out to that. We're meeting again this Tuesday. This has been a really growing and important experience for me. To kind of run with the sandwich analogy here, I'll eat a sandwich, but you know, I'm kind of hungry like an hour later. So you know, we're only in church here like for an hour every week, and then we're out there and bombarded by life and everything else. So I think it's important to stay connected with the church community and others in it, and stay active in our faith So this is a good way to do that, to meet with small groups, have a fun conversation, and be able to toss ideas that you might be having around in a good, safe environment. As well, it keeps you kind of accountable, and it's encouraged me to grow spiritually and to keep reading my Bible with others. So it's been a great thing.
Thanks, Peter. Appreciate that. Especially as Peter mentioned, you know, for me, Sunday morning, the way I say it, Sunday morning is not enough. Sunday morning is never enough for our spiritual lives. So I'm so thankful for those who, it takes effort to be in a small group, but who find ways to gather with other Christians to encourage each other, but also to do ministry in the name of Jesus. A third area I want to just mention quickly is our renewed effort this year to be connected with our daycare ministry. And we have to remind ourselves, I think, continually in Nelson Avenue that the daycare ministry is our ministry. It's the ministry of the church. I'm so thankful for that. We have to sometimes keep asking ourselves, how do we do this ministry? How do we stay connected with this ministry? Children and families in our daycare are environments, and I just see that, of love and care for children and families. But how can we as a church connect with those same children and families so that their interactions with us as well, members of Nelson Avenue, would be interactions of love and care? Fourthly, I'm thinking this morning about the Korean Four Square Gospel Church. Now, I don't think, to be honest, most of us know people from the Korean Four Square Gospel Church. They rent our facility on Sunday afternoons at 1:30. But I'm longing for that relationship to be more than just, well, they rent from us and use our building. I'm longing, like today, that we do ministry together. So when you, after the service, you're part of the community party, there are people from Nelson Avenue serving, but also people from the Korean Four Square Gospel Church serving. And I'm hoping that God would maybe more and more bind us together so that as we're doing ministry together, there's experience of love, but also as people see us together, there be an experience of love. And then fifthly and finally, Sunday mornings. So what we're doing this morning, may it be, as you sort of bite into the worship service here, an experience of God's love for you and the love of others for you. Last week, and this is the actual true story. Sometimes, you know, maybe I tell stories and people are wondering, did that really happen? This really happened. So last week after the service, there was a couple here. They were just visiting for us for the morning, and they've been visiting other churches in the area, and they told me, and a few others were around. They can testify this. They said this is the friendliest church they've been to. So they've been to four or five different churches. This is the friendliest church they've been to, and my heart leapt. Awesome! I love to hear something like that. I love to hear from a person who's been here for one Sunday, this is the friendliest church we've been to. So I want that to continue. I've heard it before from others, you know, friendliness, welcome, thank you. And I want to push deeper. And my hope is someone's here for one, two, or three Sundays, they will say friendly, very welcoming. People talk to me. People notice me. When they get to week four or five or six, they're going to tell me, friendly, but now I get a sense they want to go beyond friendly. Somebody in that church wants to be my friend because they're inviting me, or there are opportunities for me to serve or be connected with them. It's not just, how you doing again? Good to see you again. Well, that's pretty easy to do. But could it be that people who are here, again, I'm thinking 4, 5, 6 weeks or longer, I know some of us this morning are saying, I've been here a lot longer. That's not happened yet. So that is a word of coming from the other side. But my longing would be that this would be a place, friendly, yes, but also a place of friendship, a place of deep connection. And then certainly after the service this morning, this party, I'm so thankful. I can't tell you now how much work has gone into this community party. Like oodles of time and oodles of preparation. So thankful for those who are organizing, participating. But let's pray together that the party would be more than just a party. So let's eat together, let's talk, let's play games, let's hear, listen to music, you know, bouncy castle. Maybe not for most of us, you know, but might it be an experience of love? Like, I don't know who's coming. But for those who come, let's pray. Even as we're interacting with them, even as we're kind of, you know, just looks like we're just going through the motions here, let's pray together, even during the party. Lord, make an experience of love for them and for me. May this be more than just the organization, but as they bite into Nelson Avenue, may they taste the love of Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. So, Father, we ask for that to happen. Today, during the lunch hour, but also maybe tomorrow, certainly, and next week, Sunday, and there are meetings together, worship services, but also small group meetings, interactions, emails, phone calls, coffee shop meetings, Lord, teams as we meet, committees. Lord, all the interactions, Lord, we have together, may there be more love. More love, O Lord, from you, may we know it. More love for you, more love for each other. And all of this we pray because of Jesus. Amen.